Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
You and I like puns. Well, you know, I mean, like, you know, I'm also a pretty big Brad Pitt fan.
I mean, I think most listeners of the podcast know at this point that you are a pretty big Brad Pitt fan. Say that five times fast.
Pretty big Brad Pitt fan. All right, I'm not going to try. I could. I'm not going to do it for the sake of...
You are a promoter of the films of Brad Pitt, one might say.
Yes, even if it's for a contrived bit, I still am. So we were talking about movies, and you were on voice to text, and it auto-corrected to Brad Pitt.
Bro, you know what I hate? It is 2024, and voice to text still makes you speak to it like it has a hearing aid in. It's so fucking annoying. I can't even, like, we've gotten to the point now where it's got predictive texting too, right? So, like, not
at
only
least it knows swear words.
Not only does it not listen to you, but then it tries to guess what you're saying, right? So it's like a passively aggressively gaslighting you, kind of like, oh yeah, here you go, we're gonna say this again. This shit didn't even know I was trying to say Brad Pitt in our chat conversation the other day, right? It thought I was trying to say Brad Pitt. And I was like, what?
Bread doesn't have pits.
What the fuck is a bread pit? And now I'm waiting for a chance to use that pun in conversation, right? Like,
well, you don't have to wait for 4chan.
For 4chan? Is 4chan still a thing?
You don't have to wait for 4chan for somebody to take advantage of this pun.
Why is that, Zig?
Because I had fun with ChatGPT. Make a rough draft for a movie called Levin, where Brad Pitt is a detective trying to solve a murder at a Jewish bakery during Yom Kippur.
What?
The setting of the movie is dark and gritty, and in a vast, sprawling city, it is always raining. Make the tone and feel of the movie similar to the movie Seven. The main character is Jack Darcy, played by Brad Pitt, who is a grizzled detective assigned to the case. Jack has a drinking problem and recently got divorced.
What?
He's okay. Struggling with his sobriety, and throughout the movie, he has a strange relationship with his ex-wife, who is played by Reese Witherspoon,
what?
Who works as a nurse at the city's hospital. They have a young son, which is a point of tension.
What? I don't like the way you said, which is a point of tension. That implies so much and leaves so many other questions. Is it his son? Is it not his son? Is the son a point of tension because he wants to be more like his dad and she's like, your dad's just a drunk? Or is he mad because, like, dad doesn't come and pick him up from his games because he's too busy being a detective? And what does this have to do with Brad Pitt?
Jack's partner, Detective Levi Cohen, played by Mark Ruffalo, was just...
Why?
Perfect casting, that's why. Was just promoted to detective. Levi grew up in the neighborhood where the murder occurred. Levi's main conflict is remaining level-headed and objective as these crimes are happening close to home. Levi acts as an optimistic guiding light for Jack, but as the case gets darker and more brutal, Levi's resolve is tested. Levi has a corny, dry sense of humor that Jack visibly gets frustrated at, but never verbally.
Is this all the ChatGPT prompt, or is this you?
No, this is me.
Okay, so this is the prompt you put into ChatGPT.
Yes.
Okay.
Jack so you and ChatGPT have an acrimonious relationship that grows closer as the case progresses and challenges their faith in humanity and their own sanity.
So you had like a whole writing table session with ChatGPT.
The second half of the movie takes place during Hanukkah.
Okay.
The number 8 signifies new beginnings. Each night of Hanukkah, a different type of person who had some form of new beginning happen in their life becomes a victim.
So because it's Jewish 7, you decided to pick Hanukkah. So it's no longer 7, it's 8 crazy nights.
Beat 7. The movie is called Leaven.
Oh my.
And the climax of the movie is when Jack and Levi realize that Levi is the target of the 8th night.
What a twist.
All prompt. This isn't even ChatGPT yet. Are you with it? You still with it? Are you here for this 8 crazy night? All this off of a Brad Pitt pun, huh?
Jack, ma'am, I'm Detective Jack Darcy. Can you tell me what happened here? He was here early in the morning preparing for the day. I went to check on him and I found him like this. As Jack,
I found him like this. Body. No, oh god, that was terrible. I'm so sorry.
As Jack kneels beside the body, his brow furrows in concentration, scanning the scene for any clue.
You know you're part of the problem, right? Man, let me tell you, the level of insanity is rising up and crashing through. This is Doc.
And Ziggy.
And we are... The Flood. That's right, your favorite weekly pop culture digest, bringing you our pop perspective.
To put the culture in context.
And make the mainstream make sense.
Because if we don't make sense, we don't make sense.
Holla. Cash register sound effect. Shout out to the patrons.
Enraged Peacock.
And...
You will now have the Super Robot Unicorn song stuck in your head for the rest of the day. You're welcome, Austin.
Shout out to y'all. And shout out to all the other listeners. You know where you can find us at. It's at the Flood Pod on everything.
And that is on everything.
Including the Patreon. You know, if you've enjoyed your time here, where we take our time to dig into some of the headlines of the week, some of the mainstream events, and
we do have some other things to talk about and catch up on, because we have been on a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah, you know, every now and again a little breaky break is necessary to keep
since
the quality
we've been gone,
up. Since you've been gone,
the key bridge has been crossed for the last time.
Hey, the second time since the beginning of the country. I don't know if that means anything, but you know, the Christians out there thought the eclipse that happened meant a whole lot.
Yeah, I have cancer, superpowers, a spirit possessing me, and a newfound relationship with God, but I can't tell which is which, because it all feels weird.
And honestly, it wasn't even just the Christians. It was the entirety of the conspiracy theory internet went crazy over the fucking eclipse that just happened, like everybody else did, right? But in the special way that they do.
We have some fun basketball endorsement updates that are worth talking about.
Oh, and we got rat beef updates because you are, and look, everybody knows at this point how this shit is going. And by the time this drop, it may have gone nuclear or not. We'll find out.
I'm going to give you this week's hit on the algorithm, and we're probably not going to talk about this song at all and just go into the related topic, Tertiary 2. But this week's hit on the algorithm is... Wannabe by Glorilla.
Just like J. Cole thought, he... Wannabe in the middle of this mix that was about to happen, but quickly did a heel turn on that. And
shout out to Glorilla. Now step aside for a minute.
Listen, I'm not gonna say anything about that. I just know that. No, the song is fire. It's already doing its numbers as like the new trend. There's a trend behind it already on Instagram that's doing, you know, meme numbers. So they gonna run that spin up. Just like everybody was running up 7-minute drill until J. Cole decided
he put it on his album called Might Delete Later.
He told us
he might delete it later.
Like a late night drunk tweet. He's like, you know what? I was wildin'. I was all
to Annie. I had too much almond milk.
People was saying all kinds of crazy shit in my ear. They was like, you know, Cole, how you gonna let that nigga stand on that? Like, you was trying to be friendly, and he was like, fuck all that. And Cole was like, you know what, Kendrick? I got my chin out. It's all good. We good. I'm going to stand on it. And I still rock with you, dog. And then took the song down. This is the first time, I think, in rap history that a diss track has been deleted from history. The diss track wasn't even bad, right? Like, everybody, the narrative, I love how the narrative kept changing as the internet reaction to the song developed. Like, first, everybody was like, Kendrick should have known better. Oh, Cole ain't here to play. Oh, Cole let this nigga know. Then everybody, oh, it was a warning shot. Cole didn't go hard because it was a warning shot. He was just letting Kendrick know that he ain't to be played with like that. Da 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 da. And then Cole came out and was like, hey, I'm sorry, bro. I was tripping. I don't even know what that's about. That's not even me for real. Like,
so here's three banger tweets I saw.
Crazy.
In a row.
Crazy.
If Kendrick really liked that, he'll diss that ninja again.
Smooth. Okay. Right. Kendrick. Okay. Like, listen, though. Listen, though. Cole's response was exactly what Kendrick has been asking for this entire time, right? Since Control, he was like, run that. Like, everything you on, for everything I love, hip-hop is about competition. At the end of the day, all this music shit is cool, all this artistry, that's what's up. I love how everybody gets to express themselves and be uniquely them, but fuck you, I want it on game. Right? Like, that's how it was supposed to be from jump. No. But then everybody got mad and sensitive rappers got tucked back into their pajama clothes.
Oh, that's really convenient, because the next tweet on this banger three in a row is, Kendrick is the first person in history to win a rap beef purely off of aura. That's crazy.
I don't know. If you follow the Joe Budden podcast, shit about to get crazy, right? Like, about to get, by the time this drop might have gotten. We'll see, though. Oh, we'll see. We'll see, because...
Number three, Kendrick hasn't tweeted, posted anything. He has had no festivals, no concerts, no IG caption. Just one verse that shook everything up. And it was a surprise feature. No music video, no cover art. He really is the boogeyman.
All right, let's talk about this, right? Because the big argument that, especially Drake has been, because like a lot of people have been pointing out the subliminals that Drake took at Kendrick on the last album, how like you, and he's been saying how dudes will like, you know, just disappear for months, won't put out anything. But the argument against Drake is Drake has been putting out shit so consistently that the quality of his content has dipped, right? Like, yeah, Drake, you are still here, right? Like, you're still in the game and you are, I guess, making noise, but like, how loud are you really being? To your point, Kendrick put out a feature verse and the internet hasn't stopped talking about it yet. Right? And this is the last thing he did since Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, right? And there is a debate happening on the caliber of that to some of Drake's shit, when Drake literally just broke Michael Jackson's record for most number one hits.
I can't remember who said it, but they compared Drake to Michael and Kendrick to Prince.
Kendrick!
Oh, right.
Kendrick
said that.
Prince outlived Mike Jack. Right? There's that debate still stands too. Right? That debate still stands too, because like,
Prince had a greater artistic contribution.
If you are a music connoisseur, those kinds of people tend to lean towards Prince favoritism, right? Like, nobody would ever say that Michael Jackson wasn't an epic artist.
No.
Right?
No. I would never say that.
And I don't think but that's where we're at. Like, literally, that's where we're at right now. Is we are at Prince and Mike Jack levels. Right? Like, that's a perfect comparison for Kendrick to make. Right?
Because J. Cole fans, like diehard fans, tried for two whole business days to convince us that To Pimp a Butterfly was a bad album.
This nigga said two whole business days. Bro, and listen.
I saw this one tweet where they were like, "No, you like To Pimp a Butterfly? Name one lyric." And the best tweet I saw was,
Listen, Jay, you know how Cole fans do, bro. That's why he went platinum with no features became a meme.
He made three albums with like hardly any features. But 2014, double platinum with none.
Which is why it was crazy that he even partnered up with Drake in the first place for First Person Shooter, right? And Cole's whole run lately has been crazy, right? Because for the entirety of the beginning of his career, he was like a very secluded artist, right? He didn't do any, he produced everything by himself, right? He wrote and he ran by himself, right?
He did let me out though.
I'm not gonna lie, the apologizing was crazy. I didn't see that coming, which is what makes me wonder.
I've never seen that in hip-hop.
No, ever. I don't think that's ever happened before, except for when Lupe apologized to Kendrick. But Lupe didn't really like come out and diss Kendrick, though. He just was like, that nigga stole my style. It's happened twice now, right? Kendrick has had people start beefs with him and apologize twice now. Whereas, you know, Drake has consistently been battle tested, right? And I think that's part of the character arc with Drake here is that...
Hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
Hold on. Drake was beefing with Meek Mill at the time where Meek Mill was robbing to Nicki's battle.
It's not just that, dude. Like, we talked about last time. Don't forget, like, there was a period where Drake was getting clowned on all the time by, like, industry hip-hop, right? Like, Drake literally got peed on. Like,
yeah.
Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that.
Yeah. Literally get peed on.
Everybody wonders where this villain art came from, and it's because Drizzy without the beard was out here getting pushed around, right? Like, they was walking all over this nigga. And they've respected Kendrick from the jump, not only because he come from Compton, but because he has displayed his caliber from the jump, right? Like, Section 80, if we go back to Section 80, that shit was wild. That shit was a classic. Good Kid, Mad City was a classic. To Pimp a Butterfly was a classic, right? Like, was a classic. Damn won this nigga a Pulitzer Prize.
Right? There are so few vocal musicians who have ever won a Pulitzer.
Right there, you have two qualifiers for contenders of best rapper ever, right? Like, Drake has had more hits than Michael Jackson. And that's not saying nothing,
well,
right?
Hold on. I want to say, we had an episode where we came up with, like, the five qualifiers of the measurements. And while you're talking, I'm going to see if I can remember them.
I mean, I'm saying, like, call that, because I don't even remember the measurements. I'm saying right now, when we are looking at these two artists, and we are looking for qualifiers to which to measure them by, we can say that for the quality of music that Drake is putting out, there is an argument to be made whether or not that shit is consistently as good as Drizzy and the brand would like to have us believe. But he can say that he has the most number one hits on the Billboard chart ever. Because before that, it was him, Mike Jack, and the Beatles. Right? Right? Like, that's it. That's it. Who else are we talking? There's not really too many people that come close to those three right there. Right? Number one hits. Kendrick has a fucking Pulitzer, though, dog. That's insane. That's insane. How many other... Can you name another pop artist, right? Another rapper, another country star? No. No, you can't.
There isn't.
You literally can't. Eminem don't got a fucking Pulitzer, nigga.
So, here are... He does have an Oscar. here are, I believe...
Something Drake will never have.
So, if I remember, these are, I believe, most of the qualifiers that we had is commercial success, peer respect, fan respect, number of iconic songs, longevity, technical skill, and battle aptitude.
And look, and that was the thing, right? Like, Drake has the line, you not Kobe to us, right? Like, the thing is Drake doesn't see Kendrick as that guy. He thinks Kendrick is gassed. He sees it as he was the one that put Kendrick on, because Drake did take Kendrick on Kendrick's first tour, right? Like, Kendrick's first run around the country was with Drake when he was coming up. So Drake kind of looks at it like Kendrick is kind of stabbing him in the back here based on the way that their previous relationship has played out, right?
Okay. So let's talk about 7-Minute Drill. Actually talk about the track. And after you...
I don't even want to talk about that, because I have a whole ass another take that I think is insane to me, right?
Because, well, real quick, I actually agree with you with what you said to me off record, where you said the bars are good, but the disses are weak.
Yeah, because Cole, there was no way I would imagine a reality where Cole doesn't get busy on a diss record, right? Like, to say that Cole's pin game isn't there is a crazy statement.
Yeah.
Right. I get Kendrick's bravado because, like, he's been saying, like, he wants to, you know, he wants the competition
for a while
now. And he while everybody's waiting for an album, he posted videos of him doing burpees in the park, right? Like, prison burpees in the park and shit. Like, yeah, this is what I'm working on, right? Like, no. But Cole has been consistently over the last couple of years been dropping a lot of the best verses that I would say this thing has dropped in a long time.
The Offseason was a great album.
Yeah. Might Delete Later is a great album that I feel like is going to get overshadowed by 7-Minute Drill, right?
Download it, though, because he might delete it later. He already deleted one track.
Man, listen.
And Kanye is known for putting patch notes on his albums, so...
Man, listen. And the irony of this is Drake has been ducking the Kendrick issue for so long... And I'm sure Drake would get mad right now if we were sitting in front of this nigga and I was like, you were ducking the Kendrick issue. But, like, the reality of the situation is after Control drop, them niggas was really on site since then. Except for Drake is not an on site kind of guy unless he knows he can absolutely dominate the competition. He's been quiet for a lot of people, including Joe Budden. It was wild that he attempted to take on Pusha T, right, with the Duppy freestyle. But then once Edidon dropped, it was all quiet on the Western Front after that, right? And a lot of people can say that that was because of Jay Prince. But at the end of the day, Drake has proven that he's going to do what he wants to do. And his reaction to... It's like that has been kind of slight, right? Like, the fact that Cole jumped out there before Drake did was crazy, which makes what Joe Budden said today when we were recording even wilder, because, yeah, if we don't hear anything by the time this drops, I'm going to assume that Drake isn't going to say shit, right?
He better. People have been... constantly roasting him about it, and they have videos where it's like J. Cole releases this track, Kendrick, he's off in the mythos atmosphere wherever the fuck Kendrick just goes to an ethereal plane after he leaves the recording studio.
I told
where's
you
where's Drake? He's fucking drinking with
that shit wasn't even about J. Cole. I honestly feel like that shit wasn't even about J. Cole, bro.
Kendrick's was not about J. Cole.
And that's what I'm saying. I feel like J. Cole just caught strays off the jump because...
I feel like J. Cole almost felt, like, pressured into it.
Because this shit ain't even about Kendrick versus Drake. Let me check for a second, because here's my take. The take that I was running earlier, right? Bro. This ain't even a hot take. Bro, if you really know it's like that, then you know that what this really is... This whole thing has been orchestrated by fucking Metro Boomin, dog.
I was about to say, this almost feels like a battle for the soul of hip-hop.
No, well, I mean, ultimately, that's what it's going to come down to, right? Because of the two artists who are duking it out. But this whole beef was started by Metro Boomin, who should go down as the biggest instigator of 2024. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu. It's Metro Boomin. Or Cat Williams. It's fucking Metro Boomin, dog. Metro Boomin is like the biggest hater of the year. It's like, nah, he mad because Drake beat him out. Drake and 21 Savage's album beat him out for best rap album of the year. I can't remember if it was at the Grammys or the BET Hip Hop Awards, but I do know that that night when he lost, when Metro Boomin lost to Drake and 21 Savage, right? This is gonna sound mad petty and childish, but just follow me. Metro Boomin unfollowed Drake on Instagram. It's been on between the niggas since then, which is why the whole we don't trust you shit, right?
Like, that album track thing is wild.
The also Metro Boomin's We Don't and Future's We Don't Trust You album is crazy, right? Like, that album is fire. The fact that Future, who's been Drake's guy for a very long time, right? Like, them two have been like fucking side by side, like stepbrothers type shit.
Weren't they in that video with Kawhi Leonard together?
Yeah, like, they have several joint albums together, bro. And like, dog, so the fact that Future chose Metro Boomin's side, right, I feel like also hit Drake in a really weird place. Drake has been rapping a long time about how he feels like the industry is fake and how he feels like you can't, you know, people will smile in your face and then turn their back on you. And now we have this situation where it looks like all that shit that he was worried about.
Where were they when he was walking? Now he runs the game. He's got the whole world talking. Oh shit, that's Kendrick.
You not Kobe to us, but it turns out Kendrick may actually be Kobe, but we're gonna see. This is like if Jordan got to spar off against Kobe, right? Like, and not Wizard era, not Wizard era Jordan.
They did.
Not Wizard era Jordan.
Yeah, 96, yeah. 97, 98, Kobe was in the league with Jordan. And they were in at least one all-star game together. And that's how their like relationship actually started, because as cold and icy and evil as Michael Jordan is, he had a liking for Kobe Bryant because, well, he was Kobe fucking Bryant.
I guess the closer comparison would probably be LeBron and Kobe, right? Drake would be LeBron, Kendrick Kobe.
No, I don't feel like that's quite right either.
It don't even matter at this point, because at this point, it's really all on Drake. And there are a lot of people making the argument that no response is really the best option here, because it just makes Kendrick look thirsty for attention, like Cole said. It does kind of pave a lane for Drake to just be like, yeah, no, this guy just wants attention and I'm not giving it to him. Here's how it goes, right? In my mind, I see it as if this does escalate to diss tracks. And there was an argument recently about, like, are diss tracks dead? Like, are we done with that? Because, like, to some people, it's kind of corny. But if this goes where Drake ends up being the victor, I feel like we slide into a more commercial, more
the soul of hip hop battle.
Yeah, I don't that feels corny, right? Like, I don't necessarily,
it feels corny, but at a certain point
it feels corny though. It does feel kind of corny, right? Because like, at the end of the day, this is just music, right? And it is like, it's It's like saying if Duke University wins, then basketball really doesn't. It's not. It's like a university or it's like an industrial thing. Like it, there's no actual competition.
It would be like trying to make rock music without a guitar.
I and that's not to say that Drake isn't hip hop though, right? Like, because I've never really thought that Drake doesn't have any pen game. It's always just questioned the caliber.
I'm saying if Drake wins in this battle, then that whole aspect, if he wins, then he can just disregard that entire aspect for the rest of his career. And then at that point, the competitive battle nature of hip-hop would just die.
I think...
So Kendrick, at this point, my take, Kendrick is fighting for the soul of hip-hop.
I don't feel like Kendrick is fighting for the soul of hip-hop. I feel like Kendrick is fighting to reignite the competitive nature of hip-hop. Because Drake is not a competitive artist like that, right?
Like, Drake doesn't have bars like, ah!
Drake has literally said that, you know, he, even though he is a fan of hip-hop, he's been so disenchanted by how he was treated in the industry that at this point he does not care. He is Killmonger, right? Like, he has literally, I'm turning on the thing that I loved, right? Because it did not treat me like the son that I thought it would treat me like, right?
Well, I mean, so you were saying that Drake might be like, he's just doing this for attention, but look how much like, attention Kendrick got for one verse.
But yeah, and that's the argument, right? Like, they're saying Kendrick is just doing it for attention because he doesn't ever drop anything, right? But then the argument there to be made is, does Kendrick doesn't have to drop like that because the quality of content when Kendrick drops is like that, right? Like, look at who Kendrick's mentor was, Dr. Dre, right? And Dr. Dre will consistently go down in a lot of these arguments as like one of the greatest hip hop acts of all time, right? Even though he has like
the most influential figure in hip hop,
but he's only got like 2, maybe 3 albums, right? Like, Andre 3000 doesn't have his own solo album.
He does, bud. He doesn't have his own solo album where he says a goddamn word.
But people consistently name him as, like, you know, in, like, the top 10 all the time, right? So it's like...
Do you feel like Big Boy gets disrespected?
Sometimes, but also, you know, there's arguments to be made there. But Drake's argument is, I've got more hits than Michael Jackson. I've written for some of your favorite artists, even though, yeah, I've had people write for me. I also write heavy bars, right? I've put on more people than some of your other favorite artists have. Right? Like, I brought you Future. I brought you the Migos. I brought you Kendrick Lamar. Right? Like,
have you given Lil Wayne enough love, though? That's the question, Drake.
I wonder how many people are wondering where Wayne stands in this whole thing, right?
Ooh, good question.
I don't think there's any way that Wayne doesn't stand by Hank.
He didn't die for no reason, Drake.
I don't think there's any way Lil Wayne doesn't stand behind Drake in this equation. I would be surprised to find out that
Lil Wayne got pardoned by Trump. No, never mind. That was Kodak Black.
Yeah.
Or was it also Lil Wayne?
I don't. Maybe. I don't feel like.
Ergo, Drake supports Trump.
All right. So that's where I was going, right? Like, I feel like if Drake comes out on top of this whole competition, rap firmly supplants itself into the commercial giant that we know it as now, right?
Yep.
For the people who are saying they want more artistic, more genuine, more backpack-ish style, more boom bap type rap.
I do love me some boom bap.
Listener of our podcast probably do enjoy the boom bap. Right.
I mean, the going back to when our podcast first started, I told you that my ideal podcast would be us talking over an Adult Swim bump.
I feel like our podcast would have really worked on Adult Swim, period.
We'd do so good on the Eric Andre show.
I'm really ready to see how this shit escalates, dude. I'm sorry, like, I'm way more interested in this than I am the Diddy shit.
I want Kendrick to throw a diss track at J. Cole, and then the last verse be like, yeah, he was just catching strays. Drake, come at me. Write a 48, 32 to J. Cole, 16 to Drake.
Because, like, I don't know the angle that Drake could even attempt to come at Kendrick with other than, you don't drop like that, right? Like I've been out here, right? Like, the whole, he wasn't with us shooting at the gym.
He's foaming at the mouth for this. This is the most, I mean, control, obviously, because he went explicitly at them. But since Control, this is the most direct, like, fuck you, let's get, like...
Yeah, like, run that game. Like,
except maybe... maybe back to back.
And fucking Metro Boomin is just sitting back like, yeah, nigga, it's like that. Now you gotta put your whole career on the line.
It's like that!
That's what Metro Boomin wanted, though. Like, that's what Metro Boomin wanted. He was like, nigga, you're not that. You're not him. You're not really him. Like, I'm out here really putting in work, and you're winning off of what Metro Boomin felt like was a mediocre album. And now he's got the two biggest artists of our generation.
Future is...
No, Metro Boomin.
Yeah, Metro Boomin. You say Future and Kendrick are the two biggest?
No, Drake and...
Oh, okay, Drake and Kendrick. Those two beefing. That's what you were going to say.
Have those two beefing, but those two getting ready to, like, potentially ruin each other's careers. Dude, like, I mean...
Good luck, Drake.
You saw what pulling back for J. Cole did.
I feel like J. Cole, if Drake gets murdered, everybody will do a 2020 and be like, you know what? That was pretty smart.
Yeah.
Kendrick could ruin Drake so bad that Aubrey goes back to Jimmy in the wheelchair.
Yo, if he wheelchair Jimmy, if any wheelchair Jimmy reference pops up in this shit, I promise you. Oh my God, the internet's gonna go insane. Right? Like, we'll see. We'll see. I know we've spent a lot of the intro talking about this Drake and Kendrick shit, but I mean, it's like one of the biggest, it's like, if you're into music, it's one of the biggest trending things that's happening right now. Not
talking
a whole lot
about
else.
How you have a shot, take a seat, you have been got.
Not a lot else is happening right now that isn't Taylor Swift or Beyonce getting ignored on country radio stations because, let's just face it, you know, she's too black for country music.
I did see
music.
That TikTok.
That's crazy. That's a...
You're black, honey. You didn't live on the farm. You picked the farm.
Yeah, that was a wild statement. Listen, this not
when,
everybody
when I
needs.
Heard her say that, I was not, like, why did you post that?
Not everybody needs the internet, bro.
Not everybody needs the right to vote.
Should have the internet. Also, you don't get to dictate who makes what kind of country or makes what kind of music, right? Like, you got Asian people doing indie punk records, right? Like, fucking Russian people.
I'm on record as saying, like, the current bastions of rock in the world are England, the Swedish peninsula, and Japan.
Don't sleep on Latin America, first and foremost. Second of all, you got Russian people making trap music, bro. Like, it's Slavic trap music out there. They be running them track suits and fucking just dipping
down
all kinds of...
Shout out to Mr. Bug out there in... Slovenia?
I'm saying,
shout out to Mr. Bug in Slovenia showing me some Baltic trap music. Stab you with a knife. Slav life.
I don't know how else to explain this to you, but globalism is already here. The Jews have won. If you don't know, even the two biggest rappers in the game right now are both Jewish, dog.
Speaking of...
Are we going to talk
World
about...
The Central Kitchen has ceased aid to Gaza after the IDF killed seven volunteer workers.
We were going to talk about what I thought we were going to talk about. I'm going to go make a drink. You go ahead and give our listeners the rundown if they haven't heard yet.
The World Central Kitchen, which, as you can tell from the name, likes to feed people in need. And if you haven't paid attention to the news for 6 months, there's a little bit of a humanitarian issue in the Gaza Strip, which is located on the western side of Israel. Not to be confused with the West Bank, which, strangely enough, is on the east side of Israel. But roll with it, I guess. And the World Central Kitchen had volunteers in Gaza feeding starving refugees, and 7 of them were killed by IDF drone attacks.
Bro, and it's crazy because you mentioned the West Bank, and from what I understand,
the West Bank, from what I've been hearing, is just being left alone.
As the Jewish representatives were arriving in Israel to try to make like peace talks, and try to figure out some kind of ceasefire plan, Israel announced that it was seeking to seize land in the West Bank, which has nothing to do with what's happening in the Gaza Strip.
Nope.
That's miles away.
Yup. The way you said that makes it sound like it would be us in Maryland driving to Wisconsin, when realistically it would be like us driving to Delaware, but you're right.
Still significant. It's like a whole nother state over. You still have to cross the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, right? And then drive through the Eastern Shore to get to Delaware.
Yeah.
Right? The Chesapeake Bay Bridge being like one of the longest bridges in the world.
Which also couldn't survive after a fucking tanker truck or cargo ship hits a support beam.
All right, hold on. Which one do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Israel?
Throwing that one in there.
Yeah, no, okay, so listen. Israel is wilding, right? So hard that Jon Stewart felt like he had to say something about it. I saw the Daily Show segment. If you haven't seen it yet, I definitely recommend you go check it out.
If you haven't been watching the Daily Show every Monday for the past 2 months, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
But Jon pretty much, you know, went in there and pulled up the footage and pulled out all the receipts for the complete hypocrisy that has been the Biden administration's approach to Israel versus their stance on Russia, right? And it's just so blatant at this point that it is the deciding factor for a lot of the millennial or younger demographic as far as Democratic voters are going in where they side with Biden in the 2024 election segment. And it's getting sketchy out here, dog.
Question. Do you think Jon Stewart's influence and the way he portrays media coverage, do you think that he is actually going to create more Trump voters? Or do you think he is going to maintain Biden voters but hold Biden more accountable?
No, I think that what we will see this voting cycle will be the on-trend lowest voter turnout in the history of this country.
Yep.
And it will be decided by the extremists, because at this point, that is who is running this country. It's so obvious, right?
I just want to put this out to my friend John, who's probably not listening. Like you said, while we were talking, he's like, oh yeah, you know, you all support this guy who's talking about the banning of meat emojis. And I'm like, yeah, but when the alternative is the government saying they can just legally assassinate political rivals, I'll take the bitching dude about the meat emojis.
You have a lot of people who have very strong stances that they are not wavering on or not willing to waver on. And that is why, despite the craziness that is the Republican Party at the moment, because let's be honest, the Republican Party is clearly the crazier party at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You can... a lot of them will try to check you about the moral ground of things like DEI or... what was it, the 1619 program, yep. Critical race theory.
Ask them to define woke.
Transgender just identity.
Ask them to define woke.
They have completely made their policy ground on these moral arguments, right? So when you try to talk to them about how those things will make our economic status better, they can't really point to anything other than their Republican... representatives look rich, right? Like, those guys are rich, right? So if we follow what those guys are saying, then obviously we'll be rich too. Then you look at what the Democrats are doing, right? And the Republicans' tactic at the moment is stonewall every single Democratic
plan.
To make it look like they don't get anything done. I was talking to a couple of my conservative friends too, and I'm like, look, man, I'm like, Joe Biden's getting a lot done for this country, right? Like the CHIPS plan, the Build Back Better plan, the parts of it that he was able to get passed, the unemployment rate is down at record numbers.
Disastrously done. We are out of Afghanistan.
They make it look like the Democrats can't get anything done, right? So they can go, look, they don't get anything done. And the reason why they're not getting done is because they're too busy giving benefits to all the people but you.
And right? Republicans themselves can't coordinate to get anything done themselves. So they're like, they can't get anything done. And when Democrats are like, they can't get anything done either, they just go, well, why don't you get anything?
Yeah, Joe Biden, despite his... poll numbers, right? He's getting a lot done for the benefit of the country, right? He has been one of the most labor-friendly presidents that we have had, despite...
And Joe Biden is smart enough to know to eat his applesauce and take naps and let his administration to handle everything.
It is unfortunate, very much so, and I feel like a lot of people would say that unfortunate is a very unfortunate understatement, his stance on Israel and their very clear genocidal approach towards the Palestinian people. And there's no way that you can look at that.
By the way, some of those, some of the World Central Kitchen workers were Americans.
Which brings up an interesting point that I don't think anybody is really addressing at the moment, because it's already kind of obvious what the answer is, which is why the question and contention lies again on the left, which is a whole nother thing that I don't really think we have the time to get into right now. But would Donald's approach be any different? Would Donald's approach be any different? No, he's clear. He has made it very clear, especially by moving the U.S. embassy to what? Wasn't it Jerusalem? No,
Jerusalem. It was Jerusalem.
Yeah. To Jerusalem.
Instead of, I believe it was Tel Aviv before.
As a clear sign of who he stands with. So, we are mad at Joe Biden for not doing what is clearly the morally righteous thing and calling Israel out on their shit. But, people who are like, this is why I'm voting for Trump... it's like Trump would do the exact same thing. But honestly, I don't think there's too many of those people out there either. This is the fucked up thing. This is why I don't think anybody's going to turn out to actually vote, because what we are being faced with here is literally the douche and turd sandwich.
It is the current fire or the potential of a greater fire.
It's like we put the fire out by throwing Palestinians onto it, or we just let the fire rage on and burn the entire country down, right? And I know that's a fucked up analogy, but like literally, that's like what the U.S. is doing right now. Well, Joe Biden is like,
we're talking about burning things down. How about we talk about the Raptors' new fire logo after this break?
Welcome back.
Welcome back. So, I want to give a championship ring out.
With three in the bottom of ninth inning to become the world champions yet again.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better...
Well, more like this week's championship ring goes to
Vince Carter.
Shout out to Vince Carter. Or both. Shout out to Vince Carter and the Toronto Raptors for
Vince doesn't have a championship ring, so
an honorary championship ring to you, Vince, for
the Toronto Raptors are redoing their logo where the Raptor is dunking in the pose of Vince Carter's iconic dunk.
So Vince Carter's signature pose is being adapted into the Raptors logo where the Raptor will be.
Yep,
and fire.
Vince just got his number retired in Toronto and was just inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
That's fire.
He should be inarguably the greatest, at least, in-game dunker of all time.
That's fire.
He played for 22 years.
Yeah. Before LeBron, right? There was consistency out here, right? That's like, it reminds me of the argument of, you know, making Kobe the NBA logo after all this time.
I think that would be... Jerry West was even in favor of that.
You know, but clearly the NBA has stood and decided that the brand imaging is just too strong to make a change at this time.
That, well, I think it's cool because, like,
that would
Vince
be
is
like
get his number retired, but Vince was what put the Raptors on the map. Like, after Jordan retired, the whole league was, like, looking for a void of a star to fill, and Vince came in and, like, hit his prime right at that point when he's doing these explosive, crazy... Have you ever seen the dunk that he did in the Olympics?
Probably. I don't remember it, though.
The one he straight jumps over the guy?
Yeah. Some and-one shit, right?
Like, he straight up teabags the guy in-game.
Damn. Man, listen, no.
It is one of the most savage dunks ever, but, I mean, I think it's really cool that a franchise is deciding to brand and tie their identity to their distinct player, but not in a way that player dominates.
Yeah, it doesn't make the brand identity become
Vince Carter.
Vince Carter's Toronto Raptors, right? Like,
yeah. It's like, these are the, and like, the yeah. other thing is the Toronto Raptors, they don't have, like, a major attachment for their name to... The Toronto Raptors got an expansion franchise right as Jurassic Park was coming out. And, like, they had a fan vote, and I think Raptors won.
I'm not mad at it, right? But that is crazy that may be, like, if it had
and
not been
the case, they
for
have
Jurassic
a lot
Park.
Of creative leeway with what they can do. And I think...
I mean, the logo!
A dunking Raptor?
Yeah, the new logo is sick. The new logo is sick. I'm not gonna hold you. This shit is fire, bro. I saw that shit, and I was like, oh, I'm with it. I might get a Raptors jersey or some Raptors memorabilia, right? Give me a dad hat with a Raptor doing that sick Vince Carter dunk on it. I'm with it. Make that shit happen, bro.
Have you seen Victor Wembanyama's new logo?
No, I have not.
So Victor Wembanyama's new logo... He signed with Nike, and his new logo looks fucking awesome.
Oh, I thought you, the way you set that up, I really thought you were going to say awful.
No, it looks incredible.
Oh, the little alien joint?
Alien in the ball.
Yeah, no, that shit is fire, bro. They have it in, like, a crop circle, too. That shit is crazy. That would be wild.
It makes perfect sense.
With
Dude,
the Nike checks
he
on
gets
the end.
Called an alien all the time. Like,
yeah.
He's 7'5". Yeah, he's a rookie averaging over 3.5 blocks a game.
That's nuts. The kick's got that crazy, like, nuclear green, like, space aesthetic going on. I'm here for it.
Oh, my God. That reminds me of a pair of 09 Carmellos that I've wanted to buy for the longest. They had, like, the back of the shoe had, like, this same type of pattern. But if you look really close at it, you can see that there was a map of the Baltimore city streets in it.
Oh, that's fire. I need these joints to glow in the dark. If they don't glow in the dark, it's a disjustice. It's a disservice. Total disservice to the game. No, that logo is heat. The new Toronto Raptors logo is heat. I can understand, though, why the NBA hasn't changed their logo up. It would be like Disney changing the font after all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like, that's crazy. Why did y'all do that?
And I do appreciate that the NBA's logo is a white guy.
And I know the execs at the table were like, we can't change it. It would be like Disney changing the font after all this time. Plus, come on, it's a white guy. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. All right.
Another sports update. Joel Embiid, reigning MVP of the NBA, and also someone who just came back from an injury that had him sidelined for over a month.
Damn, I know that.
He signed a deal for a signature shoe with Skechers.
Hey.
What a twist.
Hey, yo, okay, all right. So have we seen the kicks, though? Because didn't we talk about Snoop Dogg and his Skechers
too? Snoop Dogg got signed.
Yeah.
And his are Skechers, like all right. Orange. And yeah, look at the Joel Embiid ones have actually been spoiled. They look pretty good. But like the joke is like, oh man, nobody's going to let him drop 70 in Skechers. But then I realized this might be like a big brain play, right?
Okay,
like,
all right.
Like Joel Embiid has been like super injury prone. This might extend his career. Because he's playing in the nursing home force.
They gotta... Okay, so there's a couple of different flavor waves, right, that I'm fucking with, right? Like, but they do have, like... I don't know. I'm not saying they are
probably the most comfortable basketball shoes of all time. Right? And I'm wearing Kyrie Irving's right now. And they're pretty damn comfortable.
That's crazy, bro. These are the Nicholas joints, the Joe Chicks.
The Jokic?
Yeah, Jokic. I said the Jokic.
The Embiid shoes, though, don't look bad.
They don't. Okay, so they're
it's
not.
It's Skechers.
Yeah.
It's
so
weird.
So is this like where we have to be like, yeah, I'm going to buy me some Skechers? Like, do you sneakerheads?
You know what?
Do you concede?
You know what? Here's my take on it.
Do you concede as a sneakerhead?
Joel Embiid signing to Skechers? He's like LeBron James doing this podcast with JJ Redick. All of a sudden, this thing that we knew
all of a
now
sudden
has a million times more credibility.
All of a sudden. Yeah, no, it's wild because, when you see dudes running around in Skechers now, do you look at them crazy or do you look at them like,
no, you still look at them crazy.
Them just kind of slap, though.
Now you don't look at them crazy like, what the fuck are you doing? You look at them crazy like that episode of Hey Arnold. Hey, I'm crazy!
I got a couple of pairs of Fila's, right? Like, as a... Just, like, running around shoes. Like, when I don't... Like, when I'm stepping out, but I don't want to, like, you know, crease nothing crazy, right?
Crazy thing is, it's Skechers who had the shape-up shoes, which actually fucked up your legs and feet.
Yeah. I'm not... Yeah, them Fila... I'm not going to say Fila's is the most comfortable shoe, right? I'm not going to tell you to go out and buy them. But the ones I got look clean, right? So that's why I got them.
Look, I have a pair of J1s. Those are not the most comfortable shoes. Jordan will tell you that himself. He played his last game at MSG wearing a pair of J1s, and he said by the end of the game, his toes were bleeding.
So, so we're talking about sustainability, right? So it's like, why not get the Joel Embiid's if your feet is going to be comfortable and they look good? The whole point about Skechers before, we wasn't rocking them shit because they look crazy.
And the other thing is like, you remember how Lonzo Ball had the big baller brand shoes? He would blow out a pair of shoes every quarter. And now he has like career threatening, potentially career ending knee damage.
I mean,
already.
Shaq, right? Like, if we're talking about affordability and still being able to look clean, you know, Shaq put them shoes out in Kmart for a reason, right? Like, he could have sold them shits like Jordan. He was a big enough brand that he probably could have gotten a pretty exclusive sneaker deal with a big brand, but he put his own out.
Shaq is also a quantity over quality guy when it comes to money.
I feel like we are at a point now where, just like with Drake getting his battle caliber tested, it's time the big brands get tested too, right? Like, why are we still buying Nike, right? Like, you don't have to. You don't have to. Unless you're really, like, and who's still keeping...
All day I dream about sales.
Who's still keeping up with Nike like that, honestly, right? Not to be on my Kanye tip, but, like, Kanye was right in that aspect. Like, these brands hook up with these artists to stay relevant. Without that, like, Jordan is its own brand. Like, if there wasn't, like, a synonymous relationship between Jordan and Nike for whatever reason, like, Nike wouldn't be relevant. Let's be real.
I still think, you know, Magic Johnson says the biggest financial regret of his life is not signing to Nike.
I can believe that, though. I can believe that, though, because Magic Johnson was, like, a brand. And if he had been signed with Nike when that whole AIDS thing happened, I think, you know, he might have still stayed the brand that he was.
So, I have two quick Lighthouse updates before we go on break. Do you remember how I said, or the story we covered about the husband who was eavesdropping on the wife for insider stock trading tips?
Yeah, the dude who has to pay back, what, like $20 million or something like that?
Yes, they are in fact getting divorced.
Duh, newsflash, of fucking course, you dummy.
And another question we had, where...
Because he cost her fucking job, right? Like, she probably can't work in that field anymore because of his dumbass, bro. Like...
But I thought love conquered all.
Love don't cost a thing.
She's like, yeah, if you fucking loved me, you wouldn't have fucking done that.
Let's go. Let's go. Go off, queen.
Second Lighthouse update. So, friend of the pod, TK has chimed back with an answer to a question that I asked. Who is the bigger himbo? Travis Kelce or John Cena?
Out of the two that you've given me, I'm going to say John Cena.
Crazy question. Shout out to TK for answering that joint, but I also feel like that was a very obvious answer.
Personally, I would have thought Travis would be the bigger himbo because he just seems dumber.
Hey, I just... Is that why? That's why you feel like Travis is the bigger... Okay, yeah. All right, like, we're not saying a lot about ourselves
like
at all.
It's like Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Nah, it was dumber than that.
I respect. Respect.
Anyway, those are our quick Lighthouse updates, and we will be right back after this break.
For the past 2 weeks, you've been reading about a bad brag. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
All right, and I guess considering that it has been trending all day for the past 2 weeks that is released, welcome to our weekly segment on X-Men 97.
To me, my X-Men.
Why X-Men 97 gotta go so hard, dog?
All right, oh so I my got a couple god. Of, like, broader topics I want
hey,
to cover.
Hey, you.
You and I were, for a while, we're talking about, like, the animation is a little, like, jarring, or
it was the frame rate.
You don't know what it's from.
Yeah.
I realized, I'm like, it reminds me of Archer's animation.
A little bit. I said it's like if Archer and the Venture Brothers, like, if those two animation teams came together and worked on a project, that's what it feels like to me. The frame rate is a little off. I'm getting used to it, but oh my god. Them writers, baby. Them writers was in that studio. And let me tell you, if you still ain't up on this shit yet,
they must
and you waiting for Euphoria
every
to drop.
Single episode of Days of Our Lives.
Oh my god.
Before
hey,
they started this.
Slime. Partner. This shit is wild. It is like a whole ass telenovela. What the fuck?
Wolverine has gotten cucked twice.
Terrorism. They got terrorism. It's like 24.
Oh, this is the only X-Men property that makes Logan look like a bitch.
It's like 24 with Grey's Anatomy, and then you throw in a little a little bit of Euphoria in there. This shit.
And the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah, and some Watchmen.
And the X-Men are being led by essentially David Bowie.
Slime, right? Like, that last episode was crazy. I'm not trying to give away too many spoilers, right?
This is.
Oh, yeah, I guess by the time we hear, this is spoiler-free territory.
Yeah, no, this is spoiler-free. Not spoiler-free. This is spoiler-heavy.
You know what I really need y'all to stop doing, though? You know what I really need y'all to stop doing? I don't like this Game of Thrones approach. I don't like this Game of Thrones approach to my fucking childhood, all right? First, y'all nerf Storm, which was already disrespectful as fuck.
Oh,
right?
She didn't get just nerfed. She got hit by patch notes.
Yo,
like full out patch notes.
Gina clone.
Madeline Pryor.
Gina clone. Then you kill off Gambit? Nigga, look, and it looked like at this point we done lost Magneto. Although Magneto is, like...
Magneto's not fucking dead. He survived the Holocaust. Nothing's gonna kill him.
Listen. It's crazy. The way they ended that episode with Rogue's I Can't Feel You. Oh my God. My heart.
Couple of things I thought about with that relationship. The Rogue Gambit relationship is one relationship I can understand being an open relationship.
That is a relationship that just screams like the OC, like Gossip Girl. Like that love triangle is so messy. Cause fucking Magneto gotta be like 40 years older than Rogue, bro. What is you kidding me?
This is also comic book time. And I think this series still takes place in 1997.
He is considerably... That is like... He's like Silver Fox that it like... That is a sugar baby relationship.
He is David fucking Bowie.
If I have ever seen it.
He is basically David Bowie.
I understand why Gambit is mad. He's like, that nigga? Really? Really? Him? Him?
Hey, Shari, I'm a... Omega level mutant too, mon ami.
It's like, okay, Gambit. Yeah, sure, baby. Yes, you are, sugar.
Gambit, all... I forgot that Gambit literally always talks in the third person.
That's the other thing, too. She's like, I mean, he doesn't talk in the third person,
no,
right?
Gambit never talks about... He goes, Gambit thinks I need...
That's my point. Rogue is like, you know, plus Magneto doesn't refer to himself in the third person. Like... She's like, you're cute, but you're quirky. Like, sure, he looked like David Bowie, but I mean...
The other thing is, I was like, when he was fighting, I was like, do you think Gambit, like, writes these one-liners before he goes to
battle? Oh, absolutely. He practices that shit in the shower. He absolutely practices that shit in the shower. He's like, yeah, no, that's a good one. I'm gonna remember that one.
So, this is, like, a less... trollsy question. This is a more like existential, let's appreciate the medium. How honorable do you think Magneto is so far?
In this run? You know, them making him the leader of Genosha does kind of feel right, because I mean, if not him, then who else? Jean?
There's been nobody else. Like, Genosha, I've always thought of being ruled by Magneto. That and Asteroid M.
Madeline, like... Who else? I don't know, dude. I think, you know, the way he went out at the end of this episode definitely shows that despite his approach, his heart has always been in the right place, which is why Charles probably entrusted him to run the school and all of that. And
everything he had now belongs to me.
Man, but the way they ended that episode was crazy, bro. Like, I can't even...
Can we talk about Scott and Gene?
Hey, yo, can we talk about Gene? Because let me tell you, bro. The way they... she is so messy.
So toxic!
So toxic. You go fucking kiss Wolverine like that and then get mad because Scott mind-chatting with a bitch?
Scott had a kid with a clone of you because you were gone.
He was mind chatting with her.
No idea.
And she was like, oh, so you just gonna kiss this bitch in your mind, Scott?
Oh, yeah. So you're gonna care about your child that you think is my child, but it's not my child?
Let me tell you, that was... I can't believe he gonna kiss this bitch after I kissed Wolverine earlier like that. He don't
Wolverine
even know.
Got cucked twice this episode.
Slime, that shit was so funny, bro. She was like, really? Nigga, you just gonna be in here talking to bitches telepathically? That's our thing, nigga.
Yo, that was wild.
That was so funny.
Can you imagine Hugh Jackman getting cucked?
Can you imagine having more than one psychic girlfriend? And you get caught fucking talking to the other one after bringing up and leaving her for another psychic girlfriend? Nigga, that's... Listen.
No. You get into a fight with your girlfriend because you get caught daydreaming.
Bro, right? Right? She's like, so what was that about?
So that was a little vivid.
Oh god, dude, that was funny. No, they're doing a great job.
The journalist, by the way, did way more research than a lot of journalists nowadays, where they're like, oh, you don't have any kids? Well, it turns out this hospital record had...
Turns out that journalist works for TMZ.
The actual most reliable news source.
Bro, oh man, that's crazy. No,
look, they may not have a good reason why Ray Rice punched her in the elevator, but they are damn sure that that was Ray Rice.
Hey, listen, more reliable than Joe Budden. Nah, bro, if you're not checking that out, I don't know what you're doing. Definitely get on that X-Men 97 wave. It's crazy.
Whose powers does Rogue have to steal so her and Gambit can have sex?
Hey, yo, I don't know, but...
And why have they not thought of that yet?
You know what I do want to know is... What else have you been diving into this week? Is there anything else other than X-Men 97 that you have had your peepers on?
I have... I've copped out. I'm a little ashamed. But I know I'm going to rectify the situation when I am able to do it. But I must confess, I have been watching the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth cutscenes on YouTube.
Damn. Hey, look, I'm not mad at you, bro. You gotta do what you gotta do. It's already hard to get your hands on a PS5 as it is. So unless you about to rent a center that shit, which I'm not necessarily sure you could do anyway.
It's a good idea. I'm not gonna do it for Jordan's, but
I have been watching Burning Body. It's this Spanish language show from España, because I'm trying to get my Duolingo.
Oh, so you gotta get used to those vosotros.
Yeah. It's about this police officer whose body is found burnt in the back of a police car, and it triggers this investigation into a network of toxic relationships that he's had. Yeah, it was recommended to me by a coworker, and that show is, it's kind of like that. It's definitely enticing.
One of the other things I've been diving into is really working on the screenplay for Levin.
Oh, boy. Oh boy, listen, if you weren't here for the first half, definitely go check that episode out. If he's still splitting them like he's supposed to be, if not, then you know, you already.
I am splitting them when the episodes are longer than an hour and 20 minutes.
Which I guess this runtime is about to be, because what else do we have?
Oh no, this one's definitely longer.
Oh, okay. What else do we have on the docket?
This week's I Never Knew I Needed This.
A boat's a boat. A mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
Oh, okay. I always enjoy this segment. I always enjoy finding new things that I've been... You know, that's kind of what this whole podcast is about, so let's hit it.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Let's get a Waffle House level in Tekken. Fuck yeah. Let's get Waffle House in Tekken.
That is not where I thought you were going with this, but that's fuck crazy. Yeah.
Let's get Waffle House in Tekken. I am all about this. Like, that is the perfect level of meme.
Yeah.
Considering, like, the backdrop of so many other fighting games. Like,
right. I immediately am brought back to the Street Fighter level. With E Honda, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, and you have to, like, we
in the bathhouse.
Yeah. Right. So it's like that. What else do you have? I guess some Super Smash Brothers shit, right?
There's like, a bunch of like cage fighting levels.
The Legend of the Legend of Zelda Castle, right? And Smash Brothers.
Oh, Smash Brothers has so many ridiculous, but Waffle House.
Was, yeah, absolutely.
Like that's so absolutely perfect considering Tekken has like all of these crazy. No. Waffle House, yes. Yes, put Waffle House in Tekken.
I need a Waffle House girl skin too, though. Like,
I was about to say, like, every single character that's from America in Tekken should be in a Waffle House
costume. Yes. Yes, that's
like,
it.
And like you have no choice.
Give me a Waffle House apron.
Pick whatever skin you want. But if you're an American character and you're fighting in Waffle House, you have a Waffle House apron.
Yep. I love that. I love it. I'm here for it. I am absolutely here for a Waffle House level in a fighting game. It needs to happen.
Specifically Tekken, because can you imagine how ridiculously agile the fighters have to be to 3D maneuver through a Waffle House at supposedly 3:30 in the morning?
Yo, I'm just saying. Because they're not bringing Def Jam Fight for Def Jam Vendetta back, right? Like, that's not happening.
Yeah, they don't have the checks to get all those rappers up. However, I think Metro Boomin would go on there for free if he was going against Drake.
Yo, I feel like that's, why has that not happened yet? Make that a thing. Never knew I needed that. Want it now. Want it now. Make it happen.
Waffle House and Tekken, I am all about.
Yeah, I feel like you're crazy if you're not with it. If you play Tekken and you're like, that's corny, I feel like you're corny. Shut the fuck up. Get off of the sticks.
Also, the Baltimore Bridge, or the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed in Baltimore.
Wow.
But,
wow.
You know,
you just gonna slide that in and pause.
It's been 3 weeks
tried,
since it happened at this point.
They tried to slide that fucking container ship under the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Oops. Oops. Big oops.
But, I mean, it's been 2.5 weeks for us, almost a month for when you'll be hearing this.
Yo, so like, I mean, we don't have to talk about the bridge incident, although the bridge incident was crazy. We can, however, talk about the internet's response to that shit and how, like, the Twitter just decided that the problem was the Indian dudes that was piloting the ship. If it wasn't conspiracy theory shit, like, ooh, they're trying to, like, you know, start...
If it's not a conspiracy, it's racist.
Speaking of racist conspiracies, the eclipse happened over the week, right?
Like
here in America.
I now have superpowers, a new relationship with God, a spirit possessing me, and cancer, but I don't know which one is which.
If you were anywhere in the totality line, you know, you might have been in a city called Nineveh, and if you were in a city called Nineveh, then you might have heard that, you know, the rapture was happening. The eclipse? Yeah. Yeah, I actually got to see it.
I was asleep.
I was in a pretty good place to watch it too, and plenty of people had glasses that I could borrow, so I didn't have to buy knockoffs from Amazon and potentially damage my eyelids.
Or pull a Trump.
What
I would have done is I would have like looked at it through my, like, I would have put my camera on my phone up
the level of conspiracies, that doesn't work either, and you could potentially fry the camera lens on your phone. The level of conspiracies are rising up with this one, because, oh my God, it wasn't just like, you know, the Christian far right internet that was going crazy about the rapture. Like, the flat earthers were going nuts. The hoteps were going nuts. It just really, like, made me feel like maybe it is time to make the internet boring again.
Somewhat like, related, not related. Should Magneto have a koofy?
Maybe it is time to make the internet boring again, right? Because, like, you people clearly can't handle the internet. Like, we tell the kids to go touch grass all the time, right? But I think a lot of you adults...
Can Flashback Friday be a thing again?
I think a lot of you adults really need to go touch grass, bro. Like, the fact that so many of y'all are wilding out like this over an eclipse and a couple of red heifers is... It's a lot, man, and I'm starting to feel like what it is it's just too expensive for people to go outside right now.
But you know, so what's not y'all too are expensive.
Stuck on the internet.
You know what's not too expensive? Buying all of your Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood, board games, card game supplies at TokenEntity.com, and if you use the promo code Ziggy, you can get 10% off of your order.
And if you got a little bit of change left after that, you can slide over to the Flood Pod on Patreon. If you made it this far and you want to support the gang and help us get into more ventures, like, you know, getting the videos back up and making it so that we have money to go outside and touch grass every now and again and bring y'all fresh live hot takes, then you can find us at the Flood Pod on everything that is on everything.
We will be back once again to our Patreon, Enraged Peacock
and the small country of Micronesia. I've been Doc. That's been
Diggy.
And we will be back at y'all next Sunday with more of this fire. Deuces.
Look, it's a flood.
It's a flood.
It's flooding.
Get away.
Quick, we need to get to higher ground.
Open the floodgates.
Talk about
it is time to